Hello, I'm Malcolm Cox. It's Monday, the 27th of June. In the Northwest London Christian Church, we've been preaching through the Psalms of Ascent. That's numbers 120 to 134. Those sermons can't cover all the details, of course, so these podcasts give a bit more information. Today we're up to Psalm 128, and we're looking at verse 6. But since that's halfway through a sentence, we'll read verse 5 as well. It reads, "May the Lord bless you from Zion all the days of your life. May you see the prosperity of Jerusalem, and may you live to see your children's children. Peace be upon Israel." So verse 6 is about living to see your children's children. It's a prayer. May you. In those days, life expectancy was somewhat shorter than now, and the chances of doing that were fairly slim for many people. And even today, we're not guaranteed seeing that physically. And I think he's talking about spiritual children as well as physical here. Children are a privilege and a gift. That's true of spiritual children in that sense, and of course, physical children. Very much a gift. And two generations, children's children, even more so. Nothing sweeter, is it, than seeing a grandparent delighting in a grandchild? And even though we're not in control of those grandchildren yet, we love to play with them, at least for a time. The psalmist's prayer, I think, here is not just to see the next generations, but to see them catching the same faith he has. A faith that this psalm talks about that is grounded in fearing God and walking in his ways, one of the earlier verses. A life lived in the fear of the Lord will cause the next generation, and we pray the generation after that, to see the wisdom of living that way. A life lived walking in God's ways will inspire generations to come to walk in the same way. I think a question for me and all of us to ask ourselves is, if we claim that we fear God and claim that we're walking in his ways, who is our walk inspiring? How do we inspire not just the next generation, but the generation after that? Well, there could be many answers to that, but perhaps two things that are on my mind are these. Firstly, no hypocrisy. No hypocrisy. As Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, verse 5 to his disciples, "When you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full." Often Jesus equates hypocrisy with the Pharisees in the New Testament. These are religious people, people who have a form of godliness but deny its power. People who look like they are right with God, look like they know what they're talking about, who certainly go to church, certainly would read the Bible, certainly do pray. And yet the heart is not right. The heart is not there. The heart is not with God. It's only the mouth. It's only the outward form. Hypocrisy kills faith. Hypocrisy will turn the next generation away. It must be that what you see is what you get if we're a follower of God. Honesty, not perfection, is what God is looking for. Honesty and a heart to do what is right, even at great cost to oneself. So the first thing is no hypocrisy. The second thing is joyful repentance. Now, I mean that, joyful repentance. My impression of repentance growing up was rather negative. It's all about being not only just sorry, but very down on oneself and realizing and understanding that God was very upset. But and God does get angry, of course, but the point is that when we repent, it's a joyful thing. It must be a delight to us to change our ways, whatever the cost. Who cares how the truth comes out? It could be a personal confrontation with somebody showing us our sins, a personal Bible study, an overloaded conscience, whatever the method. When God's truth penetrates our heart and convicts us of attitudes and behaviors that aren't becoming of a disciple, it is time to be grateful for the privilege of repentance. What does it say in 2 Peter 3, verse 9? "The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise. As some understand slowness, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance." He's patient. He wants us to experience what it says in Acts 3:19, that when we repent, our sins will be wiped out. Times of refreshing may come from the Lord. I want to be refreshed. If our children's children are going to catch our faith, they need to see no hypocrisy and joyful repentance. Tomorrow we'll go on to the next psalm. If you want to know more about our church work, nwlcc.org is where you'll find us. I hope you have a wonderful day, and God bless.